To begin tonight, open your Bibles up to Revelation 18. Again, by the power of His might and in the name of Jesus, to truly allow us to not see these things afar off. But again, Lord, encourage my heart. Encourage me, Lord. This is mine. This is mine. You're telling me of my time with You. This is personal, just like salvation. But this is mine. And those that will take this place, it says the violent take heaven by force. There's a violence that will happen there. And what I'm talking about is what I mentioned a little bit earlier is you'll never fight the good fight of faith without falling in love. And you'll never fall in love without seeing how much He's in love with you. And how that grips your heart. And each and every one of us know that. We're coming around, hallelujah, to that beautiful one who's apprehended us. Hallelujah. Saw us in ages past. And I think about saw us in ages past in His arms. We talk about that romantic. And just waiting for us at that time that we would apprehend that one who's apprehended us. And I thank the Lord that it is time to look up, isn't it? Hallelujah. That we look into the dove's eyes that He's given us in one another. And I do. I look at you in a different way, praise God, every Sunday, because I'm growing up, and you're growing up by the grace of God, and we're growing up, and we're growing up in Christ, praise His name. But tonight we're going to carry on, hallelujah, with the judgment of that great harlot, Babylon. Remember, Babylon is confusion, and that's the author of all confusion is the devil. So we know that this, the epitome of all this is just confusing people, unless we have an ear to hear and hear the word of God and listen and hearken and again attend to that. We're going to be led away. We're going to be deceived. We're going to be confused. When we don't trust God, every one of us can admit to that. We get confused. We get double-minded. We go back and forth. But again, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I believe in Him and that life, praise the Lord, as that life is fed, praise God. In due time, He'll exalt me. Hallelujah. But we read here, and we've been reading in the 18th chapter, is that there is a double portion of judgment that's going to be poured out on her. This one who has presented herself, as we read last week, the queen. And we understand truly a fake queen, a false bride. And God will give her a reward according to her great wickedness. So let's go ahead and get right into 18 and read from verse 1. And John says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power." That means, if you really look at that, all authority. "And the earth was lightened with his glory." Now praise God, John's seeing another angel here, but he knows this one's even a little bit different. And we see this one is with great power, great authority, the authority. And we know, praise God, as we'll read through here, this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I love this, as you think about this, John has just gone through all of this time of seeing the seven angels. Again, seeing the bride. And he sees them as these angelic messengers, these all-powerful, ministers of the Lord. And here he sees the Lord himself, and he doesn't call him Jesus. He sees this angel. And where I'm going with this is that John sees them as so similar, he almost can't differentiate, because that's the bride. She's like him. And I love that, to see how, praise God, you know, John and the one, again, we have to go back to that. John, the disciple whom the Lord loved. John, whom the one that of the disciples, you could just see his heart groaning and groaning and groaning in that wonderful love, putting his head upon Jesus' breast, touching him, and how he knew the Lord. But yet here John is in a place that God, again, has seen for us. He's seen things in future events, yes. But the things that he's seen that are, I believe, the most precious to our hearts is he's seen the place that wasn't offered to John, but by the grace of God is offered to us, those that would, by the grace of God, attain and apprehend, and if by any means, be in the bride of Christ. And hallelujah, isn't this wonderful? Again, so Christ-like are they that, again, he describes them as he sees also the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we see here, another sweet thing. The beginning of these chapters are so wonderful. He descends from heaven. And it says, and the earth was lighted, which is so wonderful, with his glory. Well, how many times have we went over there into the 21st chapter of Revelation? And what do we see about the bride? She descends from heaven, having the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, and her light. Now, praise God, we know that her glory and we know that her light is Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we also know that his glory, praise God, is that woman, his wife. The glory of man is the woman. And praise the Lord, isn't it wonderful as we read this, this angel, Jesus, comes down from heaven having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Well, who's he with? He's with her. Who's his glory? That's her. Who's that light of him? It's her. So praise God, I hope you can see this encouragement to us and this illumination. I don't like to call it alliteration. I like it illumination in us. Hallelujah. That I pray we see this. In the word of God in Isaiah throughout, it talks about as he comes, his reward is with him. His reward is at his right hand. Now, I understand. He meets them with rewards. Matter of fact, he's going to meet this great harlot with a reward. A matter of fact, a double portion reward of judgment. Going to give back to her all of her works in double judgment fashion. Yes. But yet here we are, praise God. We see that this beautiful picture, I believe, as the word of God says, I'll be with him in this. I believe by the word and the power of the Lord and by the power of his might, praise God, to work in me that I'll be in this place, praise God, being at his right hand, hallelujah, and coming forth with him to pour forth this judgment. And as it says in Revelation 22:12 as well, I love it. It says there, get on over there, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And I appreciate that, but I also appreciate as well too that bride has been on his mind since ages past, and at this time and all throughout, she is going to be with him, and she is his reward. Praise his name. Now going back to 18 verse 2, and it says, and Jesus, this angel, he cried mightily with a strong voice, a great voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. There's an emphasis to this. It's done. This is defeated. This apostasy, this wickedness that has been working, as Brother Paul said in Thessalonians, it was going on, and that mystery has been going on, and that sinfulness has been going on, and yet we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, are we? Praise God. We know what's going on in a very subtle way. It's going to be blunt at this time, but let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, it's still that evil one. And he says, is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We're going right back to those poor birds that it's talking about here. But they're unclean and hateful. Again, this is the habitation of the devil. We're talking about the demons, every bit of false religion in this mother of harlots, in this great a time of apostasy. And notice what's being magnified here when it's talking about every unclean fowl and cage and every unclean and hateful bird. What it's speaking of here is doctrine. These are all the winds of doctrine. They've come to assemble and be in this state and place of what we know as Babylon, confusion. Anything that is not truth is lie. Lies confuse, lies distort, lies lead away. Those winds of doctrine lead away silly women. And by the grace of God, I pray that we would again be in that doctrine, sound doctrine, and would walk with steps of boldness, praise his name. Now, verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So brothers and sisters, it says all nations. All nations. See, this apostasy has deceived the whole world. And you see what the Lord told us long time back. The love of money. The love of money. Money's not an evil thing, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And you see that this feigned obedience, but it was an obedience, I will tell you, because of things, of material things, of, again, lasciviousness, the lusts of the flesh, that this can give that to me. What do you think all religion is that is apart from God? What do you think good works are? And again, trying to merit something on your own. That's the lust of the flesh. Amen? Yes, it is. It's a lust. It's a lust that I would be magnified, that I could do something. But then you see there's such lust in here. There's lust for gain. There's lust for things. There's lust for power. And there's many people that go after different religions for what they think is going to be attaining power, that they'll become more prestigious, that there's something for their belly, there's something for their esteem, because I belong to this. I'm part of that. As opposed, praise the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm of Him. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just so marvelous to see the contrast here. But see, all nations have drunk of this wine of the wrath of her fornication. There isn't one nation that's excluded. She has enticed them all to receive her death and her disease, and they will be judged along with her. Now, brothers and sisters, we've seen this. Even in our short little lifetimes, we've seen this in our nation. Think about how far apart and how fast we've drifted from God. Think just so many years ago, and I'm not going to say that, you know, everybody was, again, into the knowledge of all truth, but there was an appreciation of truth. There was an appreciation of love. Think of the boldness that's come out in our nation against the things of God. The boldness to take God out of things, the boldness to get prayer out of school, the boldness to make sure that you don't have a Bible at your work, the boldness to take prayer out of our military. That's the mystery that's working right now. And you better wake up to it. I know, let me tell you something. I pray that if, again, the will of the Lord, if it would be, have those people awaken that are making these decisions. I pray for all of those in authority that they truly would turn to God. But I also see the word of the Lord that says the evil of man's going to wax worse and worse. And that's where it's moving so quickly, brothers and sisters. This is upon us. There's going to be events that happen. And we've seen events that happen that have changed things so profoundly. I mean, 9/11 changed our country incredibly, did it not? Think about how two airplanes flying into two buildings. And it wasn't, they just, again, commandeered. They took it over. They took over an airplane. They didn't have bombs physically. They didn't have bullets. They didn't have armies or things of that nature. And it's changed our country in some respects more than any other event in not just decades, but probably centuries. That event on our soil, how we travel, how all of the different things. And what has happened with that is, again, you would think, well, there was going to be this outcry, which did happen at the beginning a little bit, a kind of a turn to the things of God. But then immediately you could see that mystery work in there and turn it even more so in the past, 15 years, apart from the things of God. Man's going to have the answers. We're going to have to become more basically holding hands, and that there's good God, good devil, good everybody. We have to, again, we can't preach one way. There's many ways. Come on. And this is where we know we're drifting further and further and faster. But we thank the Lord, because as we have eyes of understanding, enlightened eyes, we look into the Word of God and know that Jesus is coming. Now, even more specific here as it goes on, it says that the kings of the earth, the merchants, the wealthy, the distinguished, those that possess great riches, They're all in the sight of God's final judgment. It's interesting. We're going to see that as this Babylon is just going down and burning, it says that these merchants stand back and they're crying and afraid, but they don't want to get in there because they think that they are, again, fleeing or not going to be part of that judgment. I have news for you. You're going to be part of that full judgment because you have been intoxicated with that wrath of her fornication. You have been drinking that. You're part of that system. You're not getting away from it. They think that they are. And then, God willing, even next week, it's amazing because you'll see the inference of the singers, the musicians, the entertainers, all of these things were part of that city. And I hate to tell my entertainers and my singers and different things, they better wake up. They better wake up. He's the Lord thy God. I am that I am. And I mean that very sincerely. I pray for people. I know we've heard different testimonies. The Lord puts people to pray on, put on our hearts to pray for. They'd be athletes sometimes in horrible situations. And you know they don't know the Lord. And you're thinking, Lord, if somebody would ever just get a hold of them at this time, you know, bring them the word of the Lord. And that has happened. But then it's happened, and yet you've seen those great athletes and then just refuse it. I don't need that. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And what a day of rejoicing. What a thanksgiving to God is coming forth at this time. And we're going to see this build up in Revelation 18. Let me tell you something. There's excitement in this judgment. Heaven is roaring. They're rejoicing, praise the Lord, because we have been waiting for this, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be magnified. I'm telling you, I am getting tired of one spitting on the word of God and blaspheming my beautiful bridegroom. It hurts, but he tells me, be patient and pray and wait and continue to pray. And pray for them, because but for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. And in that, precious hearts, that's that scripture that penetrates us. And that changes us, hallelujah, to be meek and lowly. Yes. Yeah, there's a godly anger in that. I don't like the enemy. I hate the devil. I hate that sin. But by the grace of God, I want to have compassion on a soul. And by the grace of God, Lord, if it might be, is today the day they might give their heart to Jesus. So praise his name. Now, we see this. That is coming forth. Let this be an awakening to us. Mark 8:36. What does it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Praise God. And I think these things of the earth for the most part in our congregation, and not to flatter us, but the grace of God that's with us, we're beginning to see. You know what? It's growing strangely dim. I thank the Lord for what he puts in our hands, but I thank God that if he takes it away too, blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is how we've always been taught long time ago. And I believe, and I thank the Lord. I'm confident Brother Hill was frustrated with me many a time, and maybe you too. They just not seeing it, you know, but yet praise God. Isn't he wonderful? We're beginning to see. I'm beginning to understand those little beautiful things that he would talk about, those little precious examples of such truth and such majesty. And I'm talking high calling of God in Christ Jesus truth, that without these things, without letting completely God, not just letting go, but letting God, that's when it happens in my life. Praise his name. But these delicacies that you'll keep hearing this word delicacy, delicacy, delicacy. It speaks, I think the Church of Laodicea said this so perfectly. We'll go there in just a minute. She says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I've got it all. You couldn't give me anything. Have you ever met people like that you try to give out the word of God to? I don't need that. I've got everything. I have a very dear friend, and so many people have witnessed to him, and I'm very sad for him. His basic end of the statement with the things of the Lord is, I believe that I'm a good guy, and I believe I've done my good things, and if that's not going to be good enough for God, and I thought, oh my goodness, that is like that's the height of the stench to God. Because that is that complete blasphemy in a lot of ways against his son and what he gave his only begotten son for was that you couldn't do one work at all. That he did everything. And all he wants us to do is to acknowledge. Isn't that so beautiful? The simplicity of the gospel. Jesus on that cross, I died for you. I'm taking all the sin, honeys. Just believe in this wonderful finished work. Praise God. It was the joy, you, saving you, bringing many sons to my Father, to glory, hallelujah, that I endured the cross. And I thank the Lord that I see that. That's real. Praise God. That's the only real thing that there is, his finished work. But we see that in their need of nothing, and they love these delicacies, what it is, it's complete arrogance. It's complete disobedience. All glory is to themselves. They have need of nothing, and God will judge them completely. And God help us to not put our confidence in uncertain riches. See, these are these little foxes that can spoil things in our lives. Little bits of leaven. By the grace of God, let me tell you something. We need to be aware, enlightened, and in prayer continually, and feeding on the word of God, lest that we become weak, that these things would come in. So again, don't just take this for, oh yes, this is for this. There's so much ministering to us in our lives right now of what this is visiting about to our hearts. Now, these merchants are the unseemly sorts of today. These merchants are these ones that have prostituted themselves for the love of money. Now, a lot of times I know we think of these grand people that have billions of dollars. And I'm sure some of them are included, unfortunately, in that. But let me tell you something. As I've said it many, many times, I've seen the greatest love of money in people that had nothing. Nothing. But it was still their idol. It was still their complete altar of worship was money. And yet they didn't have it. Isn't that interesting? See, you don't have to be wealthy that your worship would be things. You can covet real good as a pauper, and you can covet real good as somebody that has riches. So let's not be looking at each other in that regard. Sin is sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when we're not seeing this in true light, God help us to see it. But they deceive, they steal, they kill, they destroy for that love of money, for that love of things, for that part, again, of that mystery that worketh even today. Let's be very honest and understanding this about religions. The large religions of the world, they're extremely wealthy. I mean, crazy wealthy. And don't think it's just one. I mean, I'm talking about large religions in the United States. We could go on and on. You know, they're beautiful temples. They're vast ownership of lands and art and jewelry and all of these different things. See, all of those things work in. Jesus, obviously, he came in this world. They were looking for a place to be, you know, to have his birth, and they had to wind up in a stable, in a manger, and praise the Lord. And then you see, here's that one, the I Am, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He died stripped and on a cross. Isn't that something? And I just, again, and it's not for us, again, to act holy by giving away our things. And, you know, I have to live penniless. Right there, again, we've become the biggest stench to the Lord because that would be our self-righteousness. Again, I hope we would praise God and give thanks to him for whatever the Lord would increase in our lives that he gave us. Not that we manipulated or deceived or, again, shortchanged our lives in the things of God to get. Amen? That we truly, and then be happy for one another and thankful for one another. And again, as the Lord would encourage us to help one another as well too. But you see, these ones have been, they'll steal, they'll kill to destroy because they're encouraged of the devil himself. They have hearts that are turned into stone. They truly have become as those wolves that will not spare the flock for the love of money and the love of riches. Let's go on and read verse 4. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Oh, how precious, brothers and sisters. This is that call, hallelujah, to the church of Thyatira. This is that call, praise God, to that remnant, even at that time. But I pray that this speaks even to us in encouraging us. You know, we're not to go after the things of mammon. We're not, again, to, we're of the Lord. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen? Amen. Amen. And by the grace of God, may we stand for that in our homes. And I understand it's easy to let down that guard. And I understand even as parents sometimes we think, well, my children have to have this and they need to be with that and all of this. I just want my children to be around the things of God, the people of God, and those that love the things of God. And I mean that very sincerely. And then I know it's right. It doesn't matter. The word of the Lord, praise God, brings all. The Lord blesses his word. The Lord blesses his word. And we need to understand that. And I'm not talking about this prosper and be in health thing. That's just ridiculous nonsense. That's part of that mystery that's working. Do you know how many people have been led away into that? Led completely out of the gospel of Christ? This positive thinking and all of this different thing. Let me tell you something. We don't have positive thinking. We have the most opportunity and the most optimistic thinking because we have the mind of Christ. It's the word of the Lord, praise God, that thinks for our life. And we need to really know that and lay hold. But here it says that, again, this great grace of God, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not her plagues. This is the incredible grace of God. Come out of her, my people. Don't partake of her sins. Don't receive her plagues. Again, brothers and sisters, this is warning us right now that God help us to not be infected by this world, that we don't become part of that in our dwelling as we're waiting here for the Lord to come. I'd always, you know, even though we're not of that, if we're around that stinky sin, we smell like it. You'll smell like it. And it's the truth. God help us. We want to have those feet washed daily, don't we? Praise the Lord in that word, being around the people of the word of God and encouraged in that way and thanking the Lord. I'm not afraid of this world. God put us in this world, but I'm not a part of this world. I can function in this world. God teaches me in my heart how to seek peace with all men as much as lies within me. He gives me that heart that, praise God, I render unto Caesar what Caesar's. Sometimes I feel a little like I give him too much, but then again, it's all his anyways, is it not? So come on, stupid, wake back up. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we begin to really trust God with these things, and how much more a joy we'll live as we do this. But this is warning us, and I thank the Lord. As Jesus Christ himself said, he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that the Father has given me. Isn't that wonderful? See, God so loved the world, he so loved man that he gave his son to save you. But the Father's about the things of the kingdom. And that fellowship, sons of God, is going to be in the kingdom. It doesn't mean I'm ever not a son of God, but if I want that fellowship and that harmony and that encouragement of my dad, and I'll tell you, as I God graced our family, and I pray you feel the same in your family as well too, because that's what we should be as men that have children. We should be godly fathers and encouraging fathers. And I know that sometimes there's a patience and a waiting because our children, they have to grow up through childish things. They have to become mature. They have to appreciate. I'm so thankful to God that I so appreciated my dad. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to fellowship with him. By the grace of God, I got to work in the same office building with him for many years. I got to have lunch with my father almost every single day until the Lord took him home. It was wonderful. It was an honor to be with my dad as his son. The things that I learned, to hear him, to see him, to watch him in the things that he did. Praise be to God. How much more our Heavenly Father. Amen. God help us to wake up. Those are mighty sons. Those are sons that are respectful sons. And those are the sons, by the grace of God, that'll rule and reign over it all. Hallelujah. Because they know those ways. Praise his name. Now, God encourage us as well, too, because there's a chastening that goes on. And that we would encourage this love amongst one another, that we would wake up to appreciate our precious, again, our precious calling, our inheritance, and again, our sonship to God. But we are, I thank the Lord, even as Christians, we are saved from the fire, as the Word of God says. Our lives might be wood, hay, and stubble, but we're saved from the fire. But by the grace of God, I don't want to live in ungodliness. I don't want to have a life that was really a wasted life. When by the grace of God, he made me one to rule and to reign jointly with together with him, I ache to think, Lord, that I wouldn't grow up into all of the enabling provision, power, purpose, and your great love for me wherewith I'm loved. Amen? Praise God. And that's that encouragement to us, that we would, again, take the things that he's so freely given us. But as we go on here, think about this incredible grace of God. His sheep. He's telling them, come out of that church. Come out of that Laodicea. It shows us, brothers and sisters, how powerful the Word of God is. That microscopic grain of faith, that mustard seed, and you're mine, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never cast you out. Isn't that awesome? Think about this, because you really got to think about these ones. These ones are partaking in this stuff, and yeah, they're saved, they're in this place, and different things, but he never quits calling to them. Come out, come out, come out. Just like he's saying now to every one of those churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Listen to me. Come on, sheep. You know my voice. You know my voice, and I'm calling you. Wake up, and I'll tell you what. I need to pray every day. Lord, wake me up. I get sleepy quick. Ask those brothers there in the garden. Couldn't you tarry just a little while longer? And think of where we're at. We're at that threshold of the coming of the Lord. Praise Jesus. Lord, anoint our hearts to be quickened and alert and alive. See, but think of this again. Just a morsel of the Word of God taken by someone. And he fights with all of his might for you. You would have thought at this time, well, I'm kind of tired. And, you know, I've been preaching to you for all this time. And you've heard the word of the Lord. I'm throwing it in. He'll never do that. His passion never ends. His desire for you, oh my goodness, it's coming and coming and coming and coming. And how much more to us that have received this precious bridal gospel that, praise God, we said, I will go. And he says, and I'll come for your words. I will never stop coming for your words. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? It's just like trying to take back salvation. I meet some dummies like that because they've been so confused of the enemy. Oh, I'm not saved and I'm not. No, you are. You're a child of God. It's even more stupid than you telling me that you're not of your natural father and your natural mother who birthed you. Well, I'm not from them either. Well, then, you know, we'll put you in the kooky class. But it is, and it's even more so with the things of God. But once again, in that precious encouragement of the word of the Lord, he's coming. And he's not going to back off in that. He has given you that. And he sent that to that thing that he has purposed. And I thank the Lord and I want to receive it. I don't want to make it a wrestling match. And I don't think you do either. But we better rejoice. And I pray that we would be in that heart and love. Sure, we want the full gospel to be preached. But appreciate however Christ is preached. Be thankful for it. Yes, however Christ is preached. I'm not talking about somebody that goes out there and tells Christians that they could lose their salvation. I'm not thankful for that devilish doctrine. I'm not thankful for somebody that comes out there and says, oh, you're filled with the Holy Ghost even though you haven't spoken in tongues. That's a devil's doctrine. That's something that will hinder and defeat and discourage and stunt your growth. That's not however Christ is preached. But I am thankful for however Christ is preached. That means I'm thankful for his word. I'm thankful for however his word goes out. I'm going to talk about this here in just a second. But even if it was in pretense, even if it was its meaning wasn't of the intent of the person who is saying it, I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. God still has purpose always in his word and will perform it in the thing that he has sent it. Now, where I'm going with this, think about how many times Brother Hill would tell this and say it, and it's even true today. What denomination do you really believe, denomination of the world, has the most people that are saved in it? I'm going to tell you, I believe it's Catholic Church. I'm confident it is, just because of sheer numbers. It's not because of their intent, but because of the word of the Lord is so powerful. Ask many of these ones. And I'm telling you, even in my family as well too, it's because of the word of the Lord, that all-powerful gospel, praise be to God, that mustard seed of faith. Now, I'm not talking about it in any distorted. I'm talking about with a true heart, with calling out to the Lord, with my tongue, Jesus, I believe. And I thank God in that. We know that this isn't the intent of religious systems, but even just a little handful of the word of the Lord, when he sends it to that thing, praise be to God, it's all powerful. And I love that. All right, let's read verses 5 through 7. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. I was just reading today how he threw mine behind. They're all behind me. Hallelujah. They're all behind. They're nothing to remember. What you talking about, honey? Huh? Praise God. You got to get more thankful in that. Because the evil that I would not, that I do. Sometimes. And he threw that behind me. Praise God. Growing up in him more and more. So, it says, for the sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled fill to her double. And much she hath glorified herself. Oh my goodness. Isn't that something? See, she hath glorified herself. And in verse 6, as you go back, she hath filled to her double. See, I don't fill nothing. He fills me. See, she's all about work. She's filling everything. And then in verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. If we ever put any glory upon ourselves, we know we're in the wrong way. We glorify him. He alone is worthy of that praise. Praise God. But see, she has glorified, how much she has glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she has said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Her sent to the Lord is putrid. I was thinking about how, you know, when we're humble and we praise him and we just give him that thanksgiving of praise, there isn't any greater scent to him. He just sits there and, let me smell those skins on you, huh? Praise God. Remember how we were thanking the Lord about that, how Isaac, he was smelling, and all he was looking for was that smell and that scent. And even though Jacob wasn't that one, because he had the skins on him, hallelujah, I smell like him. I smell good. I smell, hallelujah, like his son. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Enjoy that. You need to get a little closer to him. But he remembers her iniquities. And will double the judgment according to what? Her works. See, it's all about those works. He will double that cup of wrath that she will drink from. I think of this in contrast, again, to his children. He has forgiven us. He never remembers our sins. He's put them in the sea of forgetfulness. And here we are, and we live in this, what is our double portion? It's the bridal truth. Our double portion, praise God, is to be, hallelujah, the son and the daughter-in-law to the father. It's so amazing, all of the double portion that we have, but it shows this great contrast because she presents herself the false bride, because she presents herself this queen, she will be rewarded double portion of judgment. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we are his true wife, the Lamb's wife. We're part of that company. Not because of a religion, not because of a denomination, but because of Paul's gospel. Because of that gospel. That's the gospel, hallelujah, that's been given to us at this age to become my sister, my spouse. Now, in verse 7, here is why that judgment is so great. And really note this. She glorifies herself just like the devil did. See, the devil glorified himself to glory himself above God. And that's why he was cast out of heaven. Again, those are her delicious living. It's that complete flesh worship. That's why, Lord, I'll tell you, when my flesh just, again, begins to try to reign over things in my life that, again, that I want to satisfy me, I thank God. I'll tell you, I get a sick pit in my gut. And I thank the Lord how he chastens me in that. That's something I don't want. I make enough mistakes in different things of that nature. But Lord, I do not want to magnify myself in one way, shape, or form. You are just too wonderful. You're too splendid. You're too glorious. God, your son is so awesome and so beautiful. I just want to praise him. I want to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I thank the Lord for this. And God, have us to have that heart to want to praise him. And again, that he must increase and I must decrease. But here again, this is why her judgment is so great. Everything is apart from God, and torment and sorrow will be hers. She says, I sit a queen. I'm no widow. I shall see no sorrow. What a blind, dark remark. That's just complete blindness. That's like, again, being blind. You got to know you're blind. And then you see. That was how the Lord came. You don't even know your blindness. She doesn't know her blindness. She's just so caught up in herself. All she can see is herself. And this great harlot is the most evil cross of Thyatira and Laodicea. Go on over to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to close this up. But to think of these things and how despicable it is. It's so exciting to see these things beginning to happen right now. But in chapter 2, verse 20, this is this cross of over between both of these things, this compounding of Thyatira and Laodicea. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. See, this is hearing the other winds of doctrine. This is going after false truth. This is going after, again, things that aren't of the Word of God, that the Word of God watered down, the Word of God distorted, brothers and sisters. Stay in the truth. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she didn't repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now again, this is Thyatira. Let's go on over to Laodicea in chapter 3 and see how this compounds to this great harlot. So in chapter 3, verse 17, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See, she's naked and blind, all of these different things, but she doesn't see it because the only eye salve there is the gospel. It's just the word of the Lord. And without the word of the Lord, you'll never see. And again, this is why she's so despicable to God. She is the epitome. When she knew that he was God, she did not glorify him as God. Neither was she thankful. And oh, the wrath that will come. But we will glory that she will be judged in these iniquities. Now, as we close this up, this is the system that is already working. I want to give you a couple little examples, and I appreciate this one. Brother Ken Trujillo had sent this to me. And again, the system is already at work. This was written, that I'm about to read to you, in 1566. For those that have come out of Catholicism or have heard of this, it's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is written in their articles. This was written in 1566. This is quoted from verse 808. It says, the church, the Roman Catholic Church, is the bride of Christ. He loved her and handed himself over to her. He has purified her by his blood and made her fruitful mother of all God's children. Now, other churches too have made very similar claims. Think about what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe of themselves. Think of what the Mormons believe of themselves. They, each one of those, we are the church. We are the church, huh? And then let's think of even Islam. They are the religion. So we're going to see all of this come. And this is the mystery that's already been working. This has been going on, again, in a hidden way. But it's not hidden to those. Again, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen. And we need to know these things. So because of this, let's just conclude here in verse 8 tonight. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. And that's going to be a short amount of time. All of this is going to hit her. Death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And yes, there's going to be a literal burning. We're going to read here in 18 and again through 19. Those merchants, everybody weeping over her. Oh, Babylon, Babylon. You know, because that's where their hearts and their affections were completely set. It's over. There's no repenting in them, though. You're going to read. It's so amazing. You would think, you know, God just completely obliterated this. You knew it was God. Do you think anybody could bend a knee out there? Nope. Because they truly, their hearts are stone. And all they're sad about is for themselves. You know how we can be sometimes? You ever been caught in something that was kind of so awful in that regard? You're feeling sorry for yourself. When it was like, now, did you feel sorry you got caught, or do you know you're wrong? You know, how many times we've been there? Okay, we'll stop. But this is what's going to happen. But yet, that burning's not going to have any comparison to the lake of fire. And let's think about what it says there, and this will be what we'll read and conclude with tonight. In chapter 19, verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And again, I just thank the Lord. That's that part of that system as well, too. That Babylon, it's all there. That beast, that Antichrist, all of those things, praise be to God, will be destroyed. And someday, praise God, after the millennium, there won't even be any presence of rebellion anymore. Isn't that going to be wonderful? So I thank God that I don't just look forward to it. In spirit, I'm there. I'm just abounding in the hope of, when will it be, Lord? When will it be? Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.